Welcome to our service. So glad you could have joined this morning. And I do pray that you are feeling well and encouraged in heart and ready, because we are going to come before the Lord this morning in song. We're going to come before him in prayer, and we're going to read his word and have it preached to us as well. Sunday is the Lord's Day, because it is, or it was on a Sunday that Christ rose again, cementing victory over sin and death. And before we have a little kind of Easter warm-up song in a moment, let's praise God in our hearts through this Bible verse. So I'll read it to us and then spend a few moments praising him and bringing yourself before him this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ is indeed risen, and that is why we gather, that is why we worship. His life, his death, his resurrection is everything, isn't it? Let's bring ourselves before him in prayer. So do join with me in your heart as I pray, let's bring ourselves before him. Heavenly Father, we come together, even though it's online, we come together like this morning because of your great love and mercy towards us in Jesus Christ. We come humbly, we come hopefully because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, because you are risen, we have hope in our hearts. We have life in our souls through the Spirit's work, shining on the sun and enabling us to come in repentance and faith. So we bring ourselves before you and we ask that you would bless us today. We ask that you would open our hearts and our eyes to see you more. Would you lift our spirits in worship? There are many things in this past week, Heavenly Father, that we have done or said or thought that have not pleased you. So we want to confess our sins before you. And we want to repent of them. Let's take a moment to be quiet in repentance, confession. Father, we praise you that we are new in Christ. You are our master now. You are the one we serve. But we do still have indwelling sin and we still struggle. And we praise you for forgiveness at the cross. We praise you for a daily forgiveness, for fresh start after fresh start. We praise you for the security of belonging to you, of being your children. And we pray that we would know what a wonderful joy it is to belong to you. And so we would know what it means to love and obey you more and more and grow in godliness, turning ever more from sin, hating it and refusing to engage. So we do ask that you would just fill us with joy of what it means to be your people, what it means to belong to Christ. And we pray that you would bless us. Father, we thank you for each soul belonging to this church. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet us where we're at, wherever we are today, downcast or upbeat. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would work in our hearts and strengthen us to know you, love you, serve you more. And we pray that you would bless us as a church. Lord, that we would be able to meet back together again soon, which it seems to be the case. We pray that would happen. And we pray that you would encourage us in this way and that we would know the joy of returning in physical fellowship with your people in the coming days. And we pray for an extension of that, in that we are able to fully return. We long for the restrictions to be gone so that we can sing and praise you together. And so, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us in this way. And more than that, would you encourage us by bringing others in? Father, let us not go through this life just having our salvation and keeping it to ourselves, but would you enable us to look out and to be prayerful about those around us, those in our families who do not know you, and to continue committedly in prayer for their salvation. Father, we pray you'd help us, bless us as a church, bless our plans, our thoughts, our forward momentum as a church. And we pray that you'd bless particular people So Lord, be close to those who are grieving. Be close to those who are recovering from surgery. Close to those who are suffering with illness, perhaps things through being elderly. Lord, we ask that you would draw close and enable, Lord, your wonderful love and peace and strengthening to speak through and into those difficulties. And so lift our souls, be close particularly to those people, we pray. Father, would you bless our time, be blessed by us, and bless us for your glory, we ask these things. Amen.
Today's readings from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to the end. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Amen.
Well, you may be wondering why we're looking at this passage in Proverbs 31 on wise women, a wife in title in my Bible, a wife of noble character. You may be wondering why, because about half listening are men and others are unmarried. When I actually got down to studying this passage this week, I too had a moment of wondering if I'd been wise to end the series in Proverbs in this passage. But of course it is right we land here, because the quick answer is, it's God's inspired word, the Bible. And that settles it really, doesn't it? We don't need any more reasons. We are to preach the whole counsel of God, and Proverbs 31 is part of it. Another reason I'm pleased we're tackling this today is because we rarely, if ever, have specific messages that focus on women. Also, I didn't realize a couple of months ago when I was putting this Proverbs series together that this last installment would actually land and fall on Mothering Sunday. So that worked out well. And I'm also glad we're focusing on this because we can all learn. Women, no doubt you will have your ears well tuned in. And you will tell me afterwards where I might have missed the mark slightly in places. But men, do not switch off, I implore you. There is much we need to see, appreciate, and learn here. Well, with perhaps even more reason to pray than normal, let's pray briefly as we look at this passage or as we come to it. Father, let your spirit now take his inspired word and wing it to our hearts for the glory of your name, for the good of our lives of service to you. Help us now as we open your word. Amen. Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Then comes this profile of this woman of immense value. And firstly, as you go through, you just can't help but notice how busy this lady is. Just look with me at how hardworking and thorough she is. Verse 13, she works with eager hands. Verse 14, she supplies food. So you know, she's off to Tesco, or she's taking time to do the online shopping. She's providing food for the household. And she doesn't stop. Verse 15, she gets up in the night. She's busy, you know, 24 hours a day. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. She is tireless with this kind of admirable tenacity. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? I'm not sure that this means kind of that she literally eats nice bakery bread, you know, M&S bread as opposed to value bread. I think it just means that she rejects idleness. Whatever the case, we see clearly here, there is no hint of the sluggard about her, is there? She is busy. She is on top of things. And then you get people who might say something like, well, yes, of course she is, because this is, you know, a Bible woman. So she's oppressed. You know, she had no choice but to slave away. And, you know, there you go. The Bible is being sexist again. And thankfully, we've moved on today. But to those people, I say, not so fast. Yes, she is on top of things in the home. Look at verse 12. She's bringing good for her husband. Look at verse 19. She's sewing or spinning, whatever it is, doing something with clothes. Verse 22, she's making a covering for the bed. She is doing these things, but look at verse 18. She's also trading. She's making money. She's making profit. Verse 24, she's making stuff and selling stuff. She's kind of got her own group on Facebook. She's got her own business going on. You see, she being kind of faithful in smaller things, tirelessly diligent, is well able for bigger things. So look at verse 16. And we shouldn't be surprised at this verse. She considers a field and buys it. Well, there's a pretty big investment. And out of her earnings, plants a vineyard. This is no confined to the home oppressed housewife. Absolutely not. She's an entrepreneur. She's got wings and she's spreading them here and there, turning her busy hand to many tasks. She is a great steward of the resources and the gifts she's been given. She's using her maternal and material and creative gifts to the full, it seems, kind of fanning her gifts from a spark to a flame. And so she is hugely productive. And her busyness means that she is a blessing. Now, of course she is, with all that selfless output going on here and all this conscientiousness, she's going to be a joy to all those that are privileged to come within her sphere of influence. So verse 11, her husband lacks nothing of value. He fully trusts her because she's wise with money. She checks the offers. You know, she keeps the coupons. She plans, you know, things around the half price deals. She's thrifty. She's wise. At verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 21, the household is blessed by her. They're well cared for and they're well clothed. I mean, she's prepared. She's got the wellies for wet weather, you know, just outside the door ready. Yeah, she's got the snow suits, you know, in a box. She knows where it is in the house, ready for winter. So she's not afraid. The clothing and the care, it seems, at verse 23, it seems linked to her husband being respected at the city gate. It seems, you know, pretty clear that she contributes to her husband's success because she is a blessing beyond the home as well. So verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor. She does charity work. She sets up, you know, crowdfunding things. But she's a giver. She's not a taker. She gives and she gives and she never gives up giving and blessing others. This wise woman, or a wise woman, is an unbelievable blessing to so many. And men, have you noticed how industrious women are? And we do, don't we? We notice it, especially when we just kind of want to slob around and watch the football. Jesus said, my father works and I must work. And godly women are workers. They're busy. They are fully committed planners. In my experience, they're almost always heading in the right direction with the right motives. And busy blessing others, consistently motivated in the right way. And just think for a moment what this world would be like without women. I mean, think what we'd miss. They are just so wonderful in so many ways, which is why Mother's Day is so celebrated. They have an unrelenting drive and love, don't they, which their children see and feel. And never forget that there's nothing like a mother's love. And there is so much to admire about how they care, how tirelessly they work for the good of others, kind of seeking to draw out the best for their husbands and children, even if the husband and children don't want the best drawn out of them. And men, we need to learn from them because women are a blessing to us, perhaps in more ways than we think. Because a wise woman actually increases our view of God. When it comes to gender differences, we tend to have a laugh about these things. And men have plenty of one-liners about women. But let's not go there, because women have plenty about men. Usually better ones, maybe more painful ones. And yes, the gender differences, you know, are so different and add colour to this kaleidoscope of this world we're in. There's no question. But here's the thing. If success in this area is only that we laugh about our differences, well, actually, that is pretty poor. We ought to do a lot better than that. So men should honour and admire women. Take time to understand and appreciate them. Why? Well, one big reason is because they increase our view of God. Genesis 1, God made man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. So God put his image on both male and females. So when we look at humans, we see things about God. But we're not seeing the full thing unless we're seeing both men and women. We need the whole picture, don't we? So men, unless we seek to understand the female psyche, how they approach life, the lens through which they view life, the emphases that they have, we don't actually see the whole picture. Men need to know women to know the fullness of God's image on this earth, if you like. It's not good enough, is it, just to joke or write, you know, about men being from Mars and women from Venus. It's certainly not good enough for us to kind of just throw our hands in the air and give up, because I'm never going to understand you type thing. No, the wise man seeks to get to know the wise woman. Being open, honest, conversing, committed to her, because she shows us something of God. Part of men's sanctification, if you could say, is getting to know women, because they're made in God's image. Did God save his best creation till last? Well, what was Adam's response when he saw Eve? It was wow, wasn't it? Not just because she was naked, men, but wow, yes, Lord, that's what I'm talking about. That is a partner for me. But we might say, well, why didn't God make us more compatible? Well, it's so that we complete and complement one another, of course, isn't it? By the way, just an aside, by bigging the women up today, men, I'm not bigging the men up. It's just that, men, your turn's for another sermon, okay? So the godly woman is a blessing, and so is herself blessed. So verse 11, her husband, and we can add people, we could add boss, manager at work, has full confidence in her. Verse 28, she's blessed. Her whole family love her. The children arise. They even tear themselves away from their screens and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And we can add others do as well. Verse 31, she is worthy of honor for all her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate, at the place where everything happens, which everyone hears about. Let it be known that this woman deserves blessing and praise. Now, women, this is a profile of a woman that you want to be. Men, this is a profile of the kind of women you should want on this earth. So what we need to do is cultivate a climate of blessing for women in our families, in our church. Value, encourage them to be Proverbs 31 women. How? Well, by being Ephesians 5 men who love their wives as Christ loved the church. Men who esteem women for the right reasons, encouraging and empowering them. Men like Acts chapter 6 men, helping the widows who were being overlooked. They created the deacon role in Acts 6 so the women could be blessed, widows cared for. Our women who are made in God's image should not have to fight their own corner. Now, feminism is aggressive today. And it can make us kind of initially just react badly and push back. But we should be thoughtful for the justice of women, to take up their cause for them, seek for things to be right and fair in society, in our church. We should seek for them to be godly women, helping them to be women like this. Now, women are a wonderful list of many wonderful things. They are relational. They are verbal. They are beautiful. They are holistic. Yeah, it just amazes me how women connect things so well, can hold so many things in their mind at one time. They are soft, but also strong. Women are alluring. They're smart, they're clever, they're protective, they are merciful, they are artistic. But these great traits also have a darker side, don't they? So women, instead of being relational, can be irrational. instead of being verbal, it can be gossipy and critical. Instead of being beautiful, they can be superficial. Instead of being holistic, they can kind of be impractical, if you like, wanting everything perfect. Instead of being soft, they can be weak. Instead of being strong in the right sense, women can be demanding and overbearing. Instead of being alluring, women can fall into the error of being seductive. Instead of being smart, they can be arrogant and proud. Instead of being clever, women can use that to manipulate. Instead of being protective, they can be controlling. Instead of being merciful, they can be sentimental. Instead of being artistic, women can be materialistic. And women, you should want to be godly. So you must seek the Lord. Men, we must want our women to be godly. And so help them in their walk with the Lord. We must esteem and bless our women so these godly qualities are helped and cultivated. A wise man is one who blesses wise women. And we would have more Proverbs 31 women if we had more Ephesians 5 men who respected women and loved them with a purity and honored them and esteemed them, helped them in confidence, helped them in spiritual living in the right direction. Now, we should all be seeking to bless the women we have contact with, because this Proverbs 31 profile is the profile of a truly beautiful woman. How this woman in Proverbs 31 is how she is because, of course, because of who she is. So we come to perhaps the pick of the verses in this passage. Look at verse 30 with me. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What does our culture say to women about beauty? What are the signals they get every day in this world? The strongest message is that the shape of their bodies determines who they are. Now, they're overloaded with pressure from ridiculously slim models. The message being, if you want to be beautiful, you have to be a certain type. But do we see here how God cancels kind of women as objects? Charm, yeah, it's real, but beware. Beauty, yeah, beauty is real, but it's fleeting. What really counts? What makes her of immense value, worth far more than rubies? It's that she fears the Lord. She reveres her maker. Women, where does a noble, ruby-laden character like this come from? It comes from the fear of the Lord. It comes from your relationship with the Almighty. Verse 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Why does the wise woman surpass them all? Because she's not all about charm. She's not obsessed with outer beauty, but because of what she's like towards God. The beginning of a wise woman begins with the fear of the Lord. She worships God. Not what the world says, not what the world values, but what God esteems and what God says. That's why she's godly. That's why she's beautiful, because she listens and obeys God. Her life flowing from His means that she is not an object, but a daughter of the King. And that makes her a princess, truly beautiful. Far, far more beautiful than this world's interpretation. In a confused world where, you know, people clamor for position, for popularity, she knows who is pleased with her. She knows who she is. She knows who she ultimately wants to please. She is persuaded. So she has a beautiful character, this confident assurance. Verse 25, strength and dignity is kind of just so much part of her. It's like it's her clothing. But it's a clothing not of her own. It's a clothing which flows from heaven itself. She walks with her head held high, with poise. She's not showing off. She's not trying to be anything. She's a daughter of the Most High. And it's what's on the inside that determines the outside, not the other way round. Verse 25, no wonder she can laugh at days to come, not because she's unthinking, but because she has a beautiful contentment in the Lord. She's unafraid of the future because it's in his hands. Verse 26, no wonder she speaks with wisdom because he has beautified her tongue. Her words are full of wise, faithful instruction. No wonder she's busy loving and blessing others, because in Christ she is loved and blessed. She is motivated by a love which is patient and kind, not self-seeking, but which protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres, and never fails or gives up. Now, women, you may find or have found Proverbs 31 a convicting chapter, but let it be a convincing passage to you. Let it be an inspiring one. Because if you are on the way to being a wise, godly woman now, then this is who you will be in absolute completion one day. And therefore, in Christ, this is who you can increasingly be today. If you are a wise, godly woman now, if you're seeking to live and love as God has designed you to, then verse 31 will be true for you. Praise at the city gates in this life will lead to reward one day at the very gates of heaven. Picture that. Think of that moment. Now, we began Proverbs with the fear of the Lord. That was chapter 1, verse 7. That was our way into Proverbs. And look at our way out. Here at the end, we end with the fear of the Lord, don't we? Exemplified in a woman. She wraps up our series for us. She models the whole book. Everything we've looked at, actually, wise listening, wise choices, the heart being in the right place. She's the aunt of chapter 6, if I can say that politely. She's at the right party. There's no hint of anger here. But verse 26, she speaks with wisdom. It's what we were thinking about last week. Because she fears the Lord. Women, let me encourage you in this section of God's word. Men, let me encourage you. These are the women we want to encourage and bless and cultivate in our families and our church. Praise be to the Lord's name for his words. We're going to sing a song. Do join in. It's about the hope and wonderful joy we have in Christ. And after this song, I'll lead us in prayer to close. do join next week. We're beginning to look at Easter. We're starting a series called Mission Week, where we look at the final week of Christ's life. Let me encourage you to join. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. It is life to us. It is the spur we need, and it is the salvation we need, for it points us to the Son. It points us to you. It lifts our head and hearts from this weary, cracked and broken world, and it gets us focusing, gets us walking on a path that you have planned for us. Lord, we pray for our women. We pray for our girls. We ask, Lord, that they would know the true beauty of a life given over to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pray, Lord, that you would protect them. Pray, Lord, that you would guard their minds from the evil of this world that would simply objectify them. Pray, Lord, that they would know growing sanctification in godliness. Father, we pray for our men. We pray that we would not be sucked into the world's view. Lord, save us from such evil thinking, and let us be men who seek to encourage our women who are so busy and such a blessing. Let us bless them. Let us take time to talk to them, to commit, to be open, to be transparent. Let us encourage them in the Lord so that they can grow to be like this wonderful profile in Proverbs 31. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Keep it in our hearts and let it grow there, we pray. Amen.